Jason Elias is a leading healing arts practitioner of acupuncture and herbal medicine for over 3 decades, and he shares his quest for personal healing while learning the art of healing others. He does so in his memoir, Kissing Joy as It Flies. It's inspired by many masters, some luminaries of psychological and somatic healing modalities of the late 20th century, and other renowned spiritual guides. He believes his stories carry true meaning and share universal themes across cultures, races, genders, and creeds to shed light on dark places. He practices acupuncture and herbal medicine in New York State, where his journey toward healing and wholeness continues. Jason Elias, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
All right, let's get the big stuff out of the way first. What is somatic healing?
Well, somatic means of the body. So when I think of somatic, I really think of psychosomatic spiritual, that you're dealing with the whole person, but very often through the body, which lies less than the mind.
How did you come to all of this?
Through psychology, much later I realized there was a lineage, but growing up in Brooklyn, no one in my family ever went to high school, let alone college.
You write about Brooklyn beautifully in the book, by the way.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But as soon as I took a psych course in college, I fell in love with psychology, because I wanted to know what made me tick. And it was through psychology, over many years, finishing college and in graduate school and working at a psychiatric hospital, that I was led to Esalen to study Gestalt therapy, where I met somatic therapists, Ida Rolf, who started Rolfing, the Alexander Technique, and I realized that the body stored the emotion, and it was a good vehicle.
The body stored the emotion. Why is that an important part of the equation?
We hold things back. When I was being Rolfed, I realized when the Rolfer was working on my legs and said,
And I'm sorry, how is that spelled, Rolf, when we say Rolfing?
R-O-L-F.
Okay.
It was developed by Ida Rolf.
Okay, so that would be Rolfing. Okay.
It would be Rolfing.
All right.
And I don't know that many people know that, but it's a very deep connective tissue massage. But when the Rolfer would work on my legs, I would let out sounds that would be filled with anger. And I realized I was literally sitting on my anger. When the Rolfer worked on my jaw, I would feel tears and sadness. And I realized that I held emotions in different parts of the body. So it became a vehicle to work with the whole person.
So it is not because it hurts. It's because that particular part of the body is withholding something that I assume, and this is a question, I assume needs to be released.
Right. And it's the releasing that is the healing. That whenever, even the word disease means dis-ease. It's an interruption in flow. It's a blockage of energy. So in our musculature, we can block energy too, which prevents us from embracing life fully. So if we can release those blockages, we open up to a more free and easy way of living.
What are you able to do as a healer and with acupuncture that assists this, that allows this to happen?
Thanks. I really feel that there are so many modalities of healing, and they all have the same premise, that we're freeing blocked energy to create more flow and resonance. Acupuncture is a 4,000-year-old science that learned the same thing, in a way that the emotions, the body, and the mind are all one. They're tied in. But we can feel through a person's experience or through certain diagnostic procedures that acupuncturists use, like taking the pulse, looking at the tongue, where that energy is blocked. And through the proper use of needles, release blockages of energy internally, which can release feelings also, you know.
I've had acupuncture. Many people have had acupuncture. Is all acupuncture the same, or is the type of acupuncture and where you apply it different?
I think it's all based on the same premise.
Okay.
Yeah. And to me, the old premise is the one that I like the most, which is treating the person. But many acupuncturists put on the white coat, put on a stethoscope, pretend they're doctors, and treat the symptom. That I don't.
And when you say old, you mean really old.
Very, really old.
Right? Okay. All right. All right. Not just like, you know, back to the 40s. We're talking old, old.
Old, old.
Old, old. Of bringing all of this together, and I know we often have this discussion on this program when it comes to religious practices as well, that there is a thought of, all right, well, we could go down one path, we could go down this path, we could go down that path, we could look at this, we could believe that, or as you talk about in the book, we can look at a principle here, we can look at what they do in this culture, we can look at what they do in this race and this gender, and bring all of this together and think, all right, this would work. Why do you think, and this is kind of an umbrella question, but why do you think it is that we so often don't look at the greater world, at what is possible, and bring it in together to achieve what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think we've become very territorial, and I think a lot of it is financial. If I can convince someone that the way I do things, I'm an acupuncturist, and you come to me, I can make someone better, quicker than the Western medical doctor, which I'm not saying. But yeah. I think it becomes very proprietary that, you know, we want to keep the dollars, we want to keep the credibility to ourselves. In the Philippines, when I worked with the healers there, there was a parade that they used to have where the doctors and the psychic healers walked down the street together, because I felt that there was a synergy. In this country, it's breaking down. I think there is some more respect, and I'm hoping that there's more integration that can happen.
When you heal, what is the before and the after, and is it a continual process, or, and I know the answer to this is it depends, but mm-hmm. If you were to heal, what is the permanent nature of that, or does it have to be continual?
To me, healing is freeing the energy and freeing the person to be more who they are. I wrote my own definition of what healing is toward the end yes. of the book, which is to be present in the presence of another in a state of love with mutual intention for the greater good.
That seems a lot.
It's a lot. But basically,
and peace on the world, goodwill toward men, right? I mean,
yeah,
how do you do all of that?
Yeah, it's really supporting a person to be who they are, where they are, and supporting the energy to move, which is a process. You don't heal someone and make them better, per se, but you can support their life energies to help to heal themselves. I think we are homeostatic mechanisms, and the body repairs itself. If you step on a tack, you'll see your body come to great straits to make itself whole again. You know, systems of healing support the body to do that. We're not pompous to believe that I can heal someone, but I can support my clients in their own healing process. So, you know, that's what I think of healing. But it's not a thing. It's not that you're healed, because we're always in movement.
The book is fascinating because, and I'm loath to use this word, but I'll use it anyway, which is it's a journey for you to get all of this knowledge. And so you're never done with that, are you? You've never finished. This is just a snapshot as to right now of what you have accumulated.
Absolutely, yeah. And the journey continues. I guess it was, you know, Socrates who said, the only thing I know is that I know nothing at all. When people come off as, I have the answer, I'm always dubious, because I think we're always learning, we're always growing.
Yeah, where do we get the chutzpah to say that?
I don't know. Maybe you can help me with that.
You know, I can't. Yeah. I don't know the answer. I hear people say it all the time, like, oh, I got this figured out. And I don't know anything. I haven't figured anything out. I mean, I know more certainly than I knew before. Hopefully I'm ready the next time I get smacked upside the head, but I don't know that the next time I walk into some place, I'm not going to get smacked upside the head. I don't, mm-hmm. And quite frankly, do we want to know everything?
No,
yeah.
Because then we become closed. And, you know, life is process. Life is constantly giving us gifts every second.
When you think about healing, I'm curious as to, and I hope you'll give us some examples, of scenarios that people come to see you, under what circumstances they come to see you. What are they trying to heal? It can be emotional. It can be physical. All of the above, right?
Right.
So what is a common scenario for you?
Most of the time when people come to me for healing, it's for the acupuncture, the herbs, and it's some physical issue, very often cancer. In this day and age, we're seeing lots of Lyme disease. I've written a book on women's health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women come with menopausal problems or ovarian cysts or fibroids. But I help the person that comes to open the energy to help the body heal the issue that they came for, but also to look at the significance of what that disease might be saying to them. If it's cancer, I don't like the blame games where, oh, it's all that anger you haven't expressed. But I may engage them to say, what is the cancer stopping you from doing? What might the cancer say to you if it had a voice? And that's using some of the psychotherapeutic skills. So the person becomes fully engaged in their own healing journey. It's a journey. There isn't a destination, hopefully. And I've had many cases where cancer has gone into remission. I didn't do it. But as a dialogue with taking some herbs to support the immune system and some awareness about what the disease may be giving us, what information, what message, you know.
If a woman comes to you and they're say fibroids, and where is the energy? So, 'cause there's good energy and there's negative energy.
Right.
And how do you determine which is which?
Right. The energy, in a way, from a Chinese point of view, is simply the energy that flows through our body. What makes energy bad is when we hold it, when we get it stuck in an area. You know, they say that if a stream is in movement, you can drink from the stream because the water is fresh, it's healthy. If the stream gets blocked up and becomes stagnant, it breeds germs. So don't drink from a stagnant pool. It's the same with the energy through the body. As long as it's moving, it's good. It's when it gets blocked through negative emotions or physical trauma or heredity, you know, whatever causes that blockage, that it creates negative impact.
The name of the book is Kissing Joy as It Flies. We have about 12 seconds, but quickly explain that title.
It comes from a quote by William Blake, which embodies to me what the journey is, which is, he who binds to himself a joy does the winged life destroy, but he who kisses joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. That we need to grab the moment. As soon as we hold on to it, we block ourselves off from the life force.
That's a really good way to end a show. Just on those words, we'll end with that. Kissing Joy as It Flies, A Journey in Search of Healing and Wholeness. Jason Elias, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you.